of God's word today. And just think about it in that manner. So here's the picture of what God is saying. And to paint it, sometimes you need to put a framework on it. I was speaking to someone in my office this week, and we were just talking about how you do hermeneutics and that kind of thing. And it was something that had brought back to my remembrance of what I learned in seminary. You know, God's word says what God's word says. And for us to expound on it, for us to share what it is, to teach what God says, it's a picture. It's what God has said. Your hermeneutics just kind of framework the picture, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to use four kind of things to look at it that way. First part of the framework is the presupposition. There's a presupposition to this passage, something to be known or understood before you came to it. Here's the presupposition we need to know and accept, is that the lost people of the world are in decay and darkness. That's the reality of it all. God is sending his church. He's sending his people. We are salt and light because God knows, God understands that the world is decaying and dark. And it needs Jesus Christ, and it needs the church, and all of those kind of things. It's not getting better, I would say it maybe in that way. Jesus is looking upon the world. God looking upon humanity sees the corruption, the moral decay, the disintegration of life at every point, and God knows that salt slows down the decay. We'll get into what that means, salt, but the salt somewhat arrests the corruption, the presence of salt. God in his love sees man sitting in the darkness, groping to find their way, and God knows above everything else that the lost world needs light. It needs salt and light. That's what the world needs. That's what God sees. They need the light of truth, the light of hope, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our biblical worldview as believers in Christ is that the lost world is corrupt and decaying, and that it's dark and darkening. That each generation is a perverse generation. The lost world cannot do anything but get worse because in them there's no goodness to build upon. On its own, year after year, the world goes deeper and deeper into darkness. Scripture clearly affirms that. It affirms that all over the place in Scripture, that that's what's going on. But God saw that. God understands that. God knew that. That's the presupposition to what Jesus says. That's our biblical worldview. When we see this and we look at this, we understand through the Scriptures, this is their understanding of the world. They need the light of Christ. They need the life of Christ, and God has called us to be salt and light in this world. And not just called us to be, he says in the text, you are. It's whether or not you will be what you are, is what Jesus is sharing with us through the Word of God. So the presupposition is that. And in the love and compassion and grace and mercy of God, what's the plan? God knows this to be true, what we've just shared, so what's the plan? What is the plan, you guys? It's right here. Here it is. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's the plan. That's God's plan, the influence of the disciples. That's the plan of God in the midst of the church age of which the world is and what's going on. You could go back in the Old Testament and say, so what's the plan? Moses came. Aaron had to go because Moses was having a hard time speaking. But God had called Moses to go, and the plan was to use Moses and to rescue the people from Egypt. And then what was the plan? You could go through the plan. You could go through God's plan and how God has been using people in his plan to do what he is wanting to do in the world. There's the people of God. There's the Jewish people. There's the Israel people. There's all of that, and you can see God has planned and purpose of that, and now we live in the plan where it's the church. It's the body of Christ. That's the plan. The plan is us. That's good. Write that down. The plan is you, us. The pronouns in here are in the plural. You all are the plan, collectively together. Yes, individually we do these things, but what the emphasis here in God's word is that you all are together the salt and light of the earth and the world. Think of it with me for a moment. What an amazing calling. Think about that for a moment. Let that sink into your heart and mind. Think about that. Your life, us together. Collectively, the plan of God is for us to be the salt of the earth and for us to be the light of the world. Now, obviously, it's the light of Christ reflecting in us. We'll get into that. But that's the plan. There is no other plan. There is no other thing that God has planned. he's sharing right here, Jesus, this is what God has designed and desired to do. I can't get overwhelmed with the privilege. I just get overwhelmed with the privilege. I'm part of the plan. Isn't that great? Are you part of the plan? Raise your hand. Are you part? We're the part of the plan of God for redemptive purposes, for these things to happen in this life. My whole entire life, your whole entire life, our whole entire existence fits in the plan. Whatever you got going on in your job and your work and your and all of the hard things that are going on and your relationships and all of that, your life is in the plan. And it's collectively that God wants us to do it together. That's why the body of Christ is the body of Christ, and our relationships matter and what we're doing. Now, Jesus was the first salt and light. He came, and his presence, his character, his way of life, his message was the salt and light of the earth. Then Christ died and rose again on our behalf, returned to the Father. And Jesus' words of John 14:12 take on their meaning, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father." The greater works are being salt and light. We can't get lost in the greater work would be doing a miracle or raising the dead or, you know, how we can get off on all of that. The greater work, a by far greater work, is the church being light and salt and earth than what Christ was doing. I mean, how many people were following Christ in 3 years of his ministry? Just think if God's plan was, it's only Christ, a few followers, and we'll see what happens. He's building his church. And so I want us to really think about it and just be encouraged today and think deeply about this. I know this is a lot of just things that we already know, but it's important for like communion to remember Christ, to remember Christ died, gave us forgiveness of sin, brought us new life, but placed us in the body of Christ in a church with a plan. The plan is the influence of the disciples until Christ returns. We are now the salt of the earth. Now, many meanings that people have shared about and many expositors have talked about in sermons about what the salt is, and they're the flavor and they're the sting, and they're well sort of those kind of things. But what Christ was meaning, the intent of here, what the main thing is, that point that Jesus is pointing out to, is that salt slows down the decay. That would have been really well known back then, because they didn't have refrigerators and ice trucks and that kind of thing. And so whatever food they had, whatever food they accumulated, all it was, it would spoil quickly, and it just would, you know, it would turn rotten. And basically they just packed it with salt all the time. And they packed it with salt to slow down the decay, to slow down the corruption. It didn't stop the corruption or stop the decay, but it slowed it down. And God has placed his church in this world for us to live a certain way, for our godly life, to our holy lives, to our moral perspectives and our moral conscience, for us to live in a certain way to affect the world, to slow down the corruption. That's God's point here. It's God's grace and love and mercy that he has us here, to not let the world just go, whoo. Do you know in 2 Thessalonians it says when God removes the church, what happens to the world? The depravity just goes, whoo, right off the charts, quick. I mean, right off to where what we're looking at today seems like a nice day. See, so God has us, our presence in the world. And the way we live and what we uphold and what we teach and what we say is God's way and God's standard, to really hold back, to slow down the soul or slow down the decay. Bruce Smith came by my office this week. He came by on Thursday. He's a Youth for Christ leader in this community, all the way through the Central Valley. It's a wonderful thing going on that Youth for Christ is in the schools. He's in 14 different high schools now, and the program's going up. But one of these junior highs called him up and said, "Hey, we need to get a program here." And he was just telling me this Thursday, and so they said, "All right, well, we'll get that going." And this was last year. And he said, "So we're going to just do activities on the campus, and we're going to come 3 days a week, and we're going to do activities at lunch and kind of be there and that kind of thing." And they said, "You know, we really need you here because, you know, the violence is getting bad. There's a lot of violence." So 3-4 guys showed up. They started doing activities during lunch, and they hung out, and people wanted to talk, and they said they were staying until the school was over, and they're just saying 3 days a week, and Bruce is like, why did you guys call us over here? There hasn't been anything go on. So he goes over 2 weeks, or they've done it 6 days, so he goes over to the yard duty guy and says, why are we here, man? There's nothing going on here. And he says, it was every day until you showed up. And Bruce is telling me, that's the presence. Sometimes God uses the presence of believers in Christ just there. You've seen it. You recognize it just to influence the corruption, the hatred, those things going on. Now, sometimes it goes the other way. We recognize that. But we are the salt of the earth. We are the material God uses to arrest the moral decay of the world. Think about that for a moment. You think my morality matters? You think our morality matters? Because in the plan, God said we are the material that God uses to arrest the corruption in the world. How we live, our moral influence, our godly living, our God honoring his word, the influence of us collectively in a godly life. One author put it this way. He said that in the plan of God, his church is here to arrest corruption and slow down moral decay. We are agents of God's grace and mercy, but our holy living will not stop corruption or decay. What will? What will stop it, you guys? Light. Right, Allie? That's why you want to go there, and people live in darkness. People have, you know, they need the Lord. They come to the Lord. They need to learn how to walk in that kind of thing, because we have the light. That stops the corruption. That stops the decay. God in this plan has made us the bearers of the light of Christ. We are to share the gospel light. That's what we're here for. Colossians 1:13 says it this way, for God rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Well, we now are kingdom people of his beloved Son, and we live here as aliens and strangers, reflecting, illuminating the light of the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, we are a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. One of my favorite passages. It ministers to me each and every day. We are collectively to open our mouths and declare God will judge sin, and he has provided the rescue for sins, judgment in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to speak. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the light of the world. That's the church. That's what God has given us. Collectively, we're to open our mouths and talk about this and share with the people that are in our life and to hold up the standard that God has. And say, this is the truth of God's word. It doesn't matter if the world doesn't like it, believe it, doesn't like us, doesn't agree with it, because we're not here to be agreed with the darkness. We're not to be loved by the darkness. We're to be a light to the darkness. And if we're loved by the darkness, if we're living in immoral lives, and if we're not telling them Christ, you know what we're doing? We're not loving them. And it is no help to the world. Zippo. Zip. It isn't. Don't be fooled. That if we don't share the truth of Jesus Christ and we don't live the way that transformed life that God has given us, that it's helping anything. That's not the plan. The plan isn't for us to be loving and friendly, although we'll be loving and friendly. The plan is for us to be salt and light. That's God's plan. That's encouraging, isn't it? I love detail. How about you? Don't you love it when it's just, you know, think about you farmers and all the things that you got to do. Don't you just love it when it just is kind of scheduled and there it is, and you don't have to fly by the seat of your pants too much? It's just like, okay, we spray then and we water. Right, farmers, right? Right, Frank, how about when we do an air conditioning job? Don't you love it when it's, okay, this is broke and this is what we fixed, but when it's kind of vague, it's hard, right? God's word is clear. It's not vague. It's what he's talking about. We are the light and of the earth or of the world. And with our lives, we back up the transforming power of salvation found in Christ. Like what the cover says on your bulletin. For you all, I like to put it because he's talking in the plural. For you all were formerly darkness, but now you all are light in the Lord. So you all walk as children of light. The church is to permeate society as agents of redemption. That's what we're here for. Slowing down the moral decay, shining and sharing the transforming salvation found in Christ. That's our mission. You got to light the fuse, like in Mission Impossible. In and amongst all that we do, yes, we're to love our wives. Yes, we're to raise our children unto the Lord. Yes, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, all these things that we have. But in the midst of it, the plan of God is for us to be salt and light. It's God's plan. And in our heart, we have to understand that it's to display the grace and mercy and love of God. That's the plan of influence of God's church. It's displaying the grace and mercy and love of God. So the lost world is decaying and it is in darkness, and we are agents of salt and light. So what's the problem? It's in your outline there. What would you guys say the problem is? Look at verse 13 with me. Because there's a problem. That's what, in painting the picture, putting a frame on it, there's two things that Jesus says here. Look at verse 13. First, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What does that mean, God? What it means is when the salt becomes defiled, when the salt becomes mixed with various impure substances, this is just the truth of science. You take salt, you mix it with all kinds of different minerals, all kinds of different impure substances. You mix it, it won't work. It won't do what salt does. He says it becomes worthless in slowing down the decay, the corruption that we're here to do. Look at our world. Look at our world. The moral decay is breathtaking at times, isn't it? It's breathtaking. The speed of what's going on and what's in front of it, and just the immorality, the decay, the darkness, that just like, oh, well, this is true, this is right, this is... It's just, when the church fails to arrest impure substances in its own life, it becomes worthless as salt of the earth. No, I'm not saying that the reason why all of this is because of the church's failure. Don't take that in that way. I'm not saying that. It's not the reason everything is going on to advance the corruption. It's not a reflection of the church, but you recognize in the world the church compromising its message, adulterating the truth, living immoral lives doesn't help, right? Isn't that the trick of the enemy? Let's compromise, let's accept, let's bring them in, let's be that, and so we can influence them for Jesus Christ. And God says that makes impure salt, and it's to be just thrown out. See, we can't be tricked by the enemy to believe that we have the way that brings people to Christ. It's God's way, the power of the gospel unto salvation, right? Us being salt backs up the gospel. Us adulterating the salt, us letting anything in the salt that's impure, not God's word, not God's truth, doesn't hold back the decay and doesn't back up the light that we share. That would always be the enemy's deception, wouldn't it? He has a better message than God. See, we want to live for the Lord. None of us perfect in the room. All of us with sin. All of us on the journey of sanctification. All of us never arriving, but always becoming more and more like Christ. Not throwing stones at each other, encouraging, helping, loving, caring, saying basically this: do you have a willing heart for the mission? Because if you do, God uses you and moves you along. It isn't about perfect lives. We could go through all of the disciples. None of them was even close to likable when they came to the Lord. We have a divinely ordained role from God to collectively live moral, godly, truth-filled lives to hold back, if you will, the corruption. And as Christ's church, if we don't seek to live that way together, even this church family will no longer be good for anything. Be trampled underfoot. And then there's the danger, the second thing. First is the failure, then there's the danger. Look at verse 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Listen, we're the light. The truths that we share, the path that we choose, the message we proclaim illuminates something. The world sees it. We'll be held responsible by God one day if it was the true light. You can think you can keep the light to yourself, hidden only for you or hidden only for yourself, but nobody does that. Jesus says nobody does that. Church, we don't do that. This isn't just for us and just for our community and just, this is for the world. This is, we set it out. And the reason that it's so hard is the danger of setting out the light. Because I'll just give you one simple illustration. You set out the light of Christ, the truth of Christ, the reality of Christ. You set it out in the darkness. You expose the darkness. And in a world full of that, it's not going to hate us. It's going to hate us. It's going to persecute us. We're going to be ostracized. We're going to be the weird one on the playground. We're going to be the strange one at work. We're going to be, however that goes, that's what it is. God said that's what it is. We're not avoiding that. We understand that. But we don't change the message, adulterate the Word of God, move the mission so we avoid it. Because the danger or fear doesn't determine our life. Amen? Amen? Boy, isn't it hard though, right? The reality of it, it's a battle, right? Sometimes in the things of life, it seems like that light of Christ that you've been given and the truth that you know, waiting for God to give you an opportunity, maybe to share with somebody sometime, that light just kind of like, well, I'm just going to have it back here for a while till God is ready for me to expose the darkness. There's love, there's care, there's God's discernment and all that. Listen, because of the danger that comes from the darkness, is we are sometimes afraid to expose the darkness. That's absolutely true, isn't it? And like I said earlier, if the darkness loves this church, then are we really being the church of Jesus Christ? So that's part of the mission, to remain faithful and accept the danger. No matter the challenge, we are God's church, must remain active in the preservative agents living righteousness before the people in our lives, calling the lost world to repent, to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And I wrote in here as I was going through this, I kind of stopped right here before I finished it, and I just was praying and asking the Lord in our hearts and in mine, what becomes the obstacle? And God told me this. He said, this isn't complicated, Ken. It's just life surrendering. And it is. That becomes the challenge, because it becomes my life here. I'm here for the purposes of God. And all the other things that we have are wonderful and great, and a mercy of God and a grace of God and the blessings of God and all the things that he has in our life are all true. But I don't want to hold any of those above what God has divinely called us to do. It's a divine calling. The words of Jesus are not a suggestion. They are a proclamation of truth. You all are. That's what he says. The church sees the truth of God and in faith accepts the mission. That's what always the battle and always the choice is. The world is lost. The mass majority of it is. It's in decay and darkness. That's its characteristics. The direction of it is deeper and deeper into darkness. Yes, there's been revivals, and we pray for revivals. Yes, there's been great awakenings and God moving, and we pray for those. But none of those came about without the church being salt and light. The church was backing up by the moral lives that they were living, the light that we're proclaiming, and God used that, and he ministered to a world and brought revival and changed things. And if God decides to do that, he's going to use the church being salt and light. That's what he's going to use. But the world's end has been determined. So time is of the essence. It truly is. And the plan is the influence of the church being salt and light It's the hope of Christ that we hold out. We hold it out in our marriages. We hold it out in our families. We hold it out in our jobs, in our communities, and in the world. Failure seems not to be an option, right? Faithfulness seems to be the option that God calls us to. Danger or fear is not to be our guide. The truth of the calling is to stiffen our resolve and encourage us on to trust God with all of it. For verse 16, look at the purpose. And we'll close with this. We'll close with this. As we painted the picture there, now you see it, the presupposition, the plan, the problem, and now here's the purpose. Verse 16, let your light shine. Let it shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let it shine before the world. Do it in such a way that they will see Christ, that they will see God, and glorify God your Father who is in heaven. No greater purpose than that. The glory of God is the purpose. God is glorified in the journey that we walk together. God is glorified in the testimony of our transformed lives. God is glorified in the compassion and grace and mercy and godly desires displayed within our life. God is glorified in the church embracing the call, being salt and light. God is glorified in the beauty. When it says there, in such a way that they may see your good works that were good, genuine, it means may they see the beauty of God in what you do. And God is glorified in the salvation of souls. That's the mission that we are on. One that brings glory to God, that rescued us from the domain of darkness. So let's pray as we close today. We've contemplated a lot of things today, been encouraged through praise songs, through remembering Christ in communion, through the pastoral prayer time to just remember that it's a relationship, that it's an intimacy with God, that he seeks not the dutiful work as we were encouraged to, and this is really relational with God, that the church embrace the relation we have with God as he works in our lives to be what he has planned for us to be in this earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your grace and mercy and love poured upon our lives. We are grateful for the opportunities that you've given us, Lord, to love you, to grow in our relationship with you, to serve you, to be a testimony of the saving grace that's in our life, Lord, to shine the light of Christ in each and every opportunity that you give us. Father, we thank you that it's not so much individually. Yes, we do it individually, but we thank you, Lord, that as a body of Christ, a church, a family of God, that you've called to be this light, to be this salt, to live together in a way that helps us with all of this, Lord. We're not autonomous. We're not alone in this. We work together in this, Lord. Help us to embrace that. You've done that. We don't make that happen. We just diligently preserve what you have done in our lives and drawing us together and bringing us into your body. We thank you for you speaking to our hearts today, for the work of the Holy Spirit, for the understanding and insight you give us, for the privilege it is to walk with you in your redemptive purpose as redemptive agents for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed for today.